In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we looked at the disciples asking Jesus, who's the greatest one, you know? Who's the greatest one? And Jesus took a child and said, you know what? You've got to become like a child. The child had no worth in the time of Jesus. Only Jesus gives the child worth. But think of why he has to die, that the disciples with him 3 years are still looking for power. And this is not the power he wants to give them. There is another power that he wants to give them, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power to love, and the power to be at the disposal of other people, servant power. So Jesus had to take all that on the cross, that part of us that wants to be sovereign, that wants to be great, that wants to be better than everybody else. Jesus had to take all that on the cross, and he had to convert it to becoming servants of all. I'm looking at the 10th chapter of St. Mark. And he arose and came into the coast of Judea by the farther side of the Jordan River, and the people resorted unto him again, many, many people, as he was wont, and he taught them again. He taught them again. Jesus is an itinerant preacher. He knows that in teaching the Word of God, that faith is imbued. It is so important that we preach. The preaching mission of the church is the first mission of the priest and the bishop. The preaching mission of the church. I'm not into telling jokes to people. I'm into preaching the Word of God by the grace of God. You know, I know people go tell jokes, and the only thing that the congregation remembers is the joke, never the sermon, that they wanted to give this joke to other people. Not into jokes, people. I'm not into jokes. This is serious business. Serious business, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus knew this, and he preached to the crowds. And the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? They were tempting him. Listen to what Jesus says. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorce and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for your hardness of heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, all men must leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, no man must separate, must put asunder. And in the house the disciples asked him again the same matter. And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. No one can change that. I'll read it again. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. No one can change that. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. No one can change that. No one can change that. Honest. This is what Jesus said, and this is what he meant. This is what he said, and this is what he meant. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Imagine. The disciples still do not have the heart of Jesus. The little children are coming and they're saying to the people who's bringing them, get out of here. We're busy. Get out of here. We're doing God's work. What did Jesus say? But then Jesus, when he saw it, he was very displeased. Displeased at the disciples. Displeased that the disciples said, get the kids away. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter in. And he took them in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So we see this experience of Jesus. Jesus Christ taking the little child and saying, you've got to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, the child in the time of Jesus had no worth. Jesus gives the child infinite worth. The child had no worth, but Jesus gives the child infinite worth. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Let's see what Jesus says. And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he said unto Jesus, master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing that you lack, go and sell all you possess, and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's look at that scripture. The whole scripture is centered upon Jesus looked at the man and loved him. But he couldn't break away from his possessions. He couldn't break away from his possessions. But Jesus loved him. And my question is, once Jesus loves you and you experience that love, you've got to come back. You've got to come back. There's no doubt about it. You've got to come back. Something happened when Jesus loved this guy. He felt it in his heart. No one ever loved him the way Jesus loved him. But he had many riches, and his heart was with his riches. You know, Zacchaeus was not asked to sell all of his goods. Why? Because his heart wasn't with his riches. Lord Jesus, let my heart be with you. Let my heart be with you and you alone. You alone. Again, beholding him, he loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And he says, sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? How difficult it is for people who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches, to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, if we're trusting in riches, we're seeing the stock market dying again today. It died yesterday. And we're not going to trust in riches. We want to trust in the Lord. We want to trust in the heart of Jesus. We want to trust in the heart of Mary. We do not want to trust in our riches. You know, your riches could be a book, and you won't let anyone use that book. That's all it might be. It might be a book. It doesn't have to be great possessions. It might be your automobile. You know, your automobile is up to snuff. It's the best thing since automobiles were made. But you treat that automobile as if it were God. No, the automobile is a servant. It's a servant to bring me places by the grace of the living God. It is nothing for me to think about my automobile, how wonderful it is, how beautiful it is. Please, please, it's the servant, the automobile is the servant to bring me to places I need to go. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's a big saying. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, then who can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them again, with love I'm sure, said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible to those who believe. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. I believe. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible. Healing is possible. Deliverance is possible. Daily bread is possible. Jobs are possible for those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. Then Peter, poor Peter, again with his big mouth, began to say unto Jesus, lo, we have left all and have followed you. We're not like the rich young man. We've left it all. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel's, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. In other words, if you've left everything, you're going to receive more. You're going to receive more, but you're not going to receive another father, because the Father is in heaven. But the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm telling you that this is Jesus speaking from his heart. Anything is possible for the believer. You know, we don't stretch our faith too often. I remember Sister Ruth, she said, I have faith tonight for the whole United States. And I'm thinking, I have faith tonight for Boston. My faith was not as big as hers, but she could believe for the whole country. I could only believe for Boston. We need to stretch our faith. We need to stretch our faith. That comes by hearing the Word of God and seeing Jesus doing things. You see, once you start seeing Jesus doing things, you can believe for the next thing. That's the way it is. Once you start seeing Jesus doing something, like healing somebody's legs, then you can believe for Jesus to heal somebody's back. All things are possible to those who believe. And they were on the way going up to Jerusalem. That's the only way to get to Jerusalem. It's on Mount Zion. And Jesus went before them. It's like the shepherd going before the sheep. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, they shall scourge him, they shall spit upon him, they shall kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. Again, Jesus tells them his experience when he's going up to Jerusalem. He's saying, I'm going to die. And it's going to be a terrible death. They're going to put me on a cross. They're going to reject me. They're going to whip me. They're going to spit at me. Jesus, who is the Lord, they're going to do these things to him. But you see, Jesus did not count himself equal to God, a thing to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being humbler still, accepting death upon a cross, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day soon, when Jesus comes again, every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know, what are we going to do with our money? That's why we need to tithe our money. We have to tithe our money, that we give the first 10% to God. Why? Because that shows me I am not in love with my pay. I am not in love with my money. And the Lord told me how much to give him. It's much more than a tithe. And I just need to do it because the Lord said to do it. And James and John, again, we're going to see why Jesus has to die on a cross. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto Jesus saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would you have me do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. They know about the glory. And what do they want? They want special reserved seats. Again, they're not thinking about being servants. They're thinking about being in charge even in heaven. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you are asking. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with, that's death? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink the cup that I drink, and the baptism I am baptized with you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared. You see, they're still looking for power. They're still looking for power. And when the ten heard it, they began to be very displeased with James and John. I wonder how many of the ten thought the same thing. But it never came out. But they were displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, that whoever will be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all. I'm telling you, this is what Jesus wants. He wants us to be servants. He wants us to be servants to each other. How can we love God if we are not serving people? How can I say I love God, whom I don't see, when I am not serving people? We are called to serve people the best way we can. I am not saying we should become rugs for people to wipe their feet on us. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we are called, like Jesus, to be a servant. And we see Jesus on the night before he died, he gets a basin and he does the work of a slave. He washes the feet of the disciples. And he says, you see, I have done this to you. You must do this one to another. Jesus, who is God, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and doing the slave's work. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, it's the fastest trip, he came to Jericho and went out of Jericho with his disciples. A great number of people were there. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he didn't say it that way because he's blind. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because he doesn't know what Jesus is. He's blind. I love this because it's so important that he is called Son of Timaeus. He has no name. He has no name. Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of John. Timaeus. Timaeus bar what? Nothing. Son of the Father, that's all. He's not, he doesn't have any name. He doesn't have any name. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. More than that he should shut up. But he cried out the more with great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he is calling you. And he is casting away his garments. He rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will you have me do for you? That's a beautiful question. Like today, what would you have Jesus do for you? Did he give you time to pray every day? Well, that would be a wonderful thing to ask Jesus. You know, I'm not looking for $1 million. I understand that the big money is over $500 million that people are buying tickets. I'll not buy a ticket because I don't want to win that. I don't want to win that. I don't need that. I need Jesus. I need his mercy. I need his love. I need his tenderness. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will you have me do for you? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What way? Up to Jerusalem. What's going to happen to Jesus when he gets to Jerusalem? They're going to kill him, spit on him, reject him, revile him. They're going to whip him. And we see blind Bartimaeus now. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. He has no name, but now he has a name and identity, for he identifies with Jesus Christ, and he goes all the way up to Jerusalem with Jesus Christ. While Jesus Christ is being slaughtered, I'm sure Bartimaeus is there watching it, because now he was once blind, but now he can see. Also, remember what the Lord promised us, persecutions besides all the mothers and sisters and brothers and lands and homes and everything, and persecution. Persecution is what the believer has, that people will persecute us for who we believe in. As I said, you can talk about any kind of God, but you can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have in schools people telling other people, all of our children, about Allah. Allah. How sad. We cannot even sing Christmas carols anymore. Children don't know the Christmas carols. We learn them all in school. We learn them all in school. Now the name of Jesus and even the name Christmas cannot be spoken of. Why? because Jesus is Lord, and Allah is nothing as compared to Jesus. He is the moon god. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If you are being persecuted for your faith, consider it a wonderful thing, because people know you have faith and they persecute you. Consider it well done. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.